Then I'm going to bring you to when Governor Bellman appoints you to serve as the state's first Secretary of
Transportation
and to serve as Director of the Oklahoma Department of Transportation, also known as ODOT.
Mm-hmm.
You served there until the end of his term in 1991.
Yes. Which was to an old civil engineer and second-generation highway guy, like getting to play football in the Super Bowl. That was, up until that time, the high point of my professional career.
Did you have any money to play with?
Well, we did, because we passed the gasoline tax. I remember when Henry was announcing my appointment as Secretary of Transportation, the state was broke, just like it was when Henry took over, Governor Henry, and we knew we had to have some more revenue. I was standing up there, and my remarks was kind of hinting that we were going to go after a gas tax, and I remember this little girl from WKY. She says, "Is this the same Neil McCaleb that was opposed to every tax increase and for every tax cut for 8 years?" She had me cold. We had just gone through the oil crisis by that time. You know, Penn Square Bank shut down in the summer of 82. I just said, well, let's just say a lot of us had brighter taillights than we did headlights. George Nye has never let me forget that. He calls me Taillights McCaleb to this day. But we did pass the gas tax, six-penny gas tax.
All earmarked, of course, for roads and bridges.
Well, it was, but they had been taking about $50 million out of the general fund to help fund highways up to that point. And when we passed the gas tax, which was about $100 million, they took the $50 million general fund money away. So we only got about half of the money, effectively, that the gas tax raised. But we did a lot of work with it and improved a lot of roads. But the big accomplishment on highways in the Bellman years was the turnpikes. We built the first phase of the Creek Turnpike, the John Kilpatrick Turnpike in Oklahoma City, the Cherokee Turnpike, which eliminated State Highway 33. I forget the guy who had the commercials on the radio here forever.
Dan P. Holmes.
Yeah, Dan P. Holmes, talking about
Highway 412.
Yeah, right. State Highway 33 and 412. Anyway, we eliminated not the highway, but the threat, and built the Chickasaw Highway, which was never economically sound. But the Speaker pro tem, Lonnie Abbott, wanted a turnpike from I-35 up to I-40. The bill said that you will sell the bonds for all four of these projects, or you can't sell the bonds for any of them. We tried for a year to get that off, and we couldn't. Bellman finally said to me, "It says here in the bill that you could build all or any part of that. Why don't we just build a turnpike gate and build about a block of turnpike on either side of it?" And I said, "Governor, that might be a little too cute. Why don't we build a piece of functional road between Ada and Sulphur on that alignment?" So we did, and it was a two-lane turnpike. It wasn't a four-lane turnpike. We caught a lot of flack for that, but it was well worth it. Turnpikes began in Oklahoma in 1953. Actually, the law was passed by Governor Turner in 1947. Gene Stipe was one of the primary authors of that bill. The Turner Turnpike was completed in 1953 when I was a senior in high school. I remember riding down that road in a yellow jacket with my dad and a guy by the name of Gaines Stout, who ran the surveys division, in the front seat. And they were oohing and aahing over what a wonderful road this was. I mean, interstates hadn't started. The Turner Turnpike was a precursor of the designs that were used on the interstate. What a fine, wonderful road it was. And I remember Dad said, "It's just too bad this couldn't be built as a free road." And Mr. Stout said, "Well, Bert, it's going to be paid off in 30 years and it'll be a free road." And my dad said, "Gaines, don't you ever believe it." And he was right. After that, we came back in 55 and we wanted to extend it on up to Missouri, but it wouldn't stand on its own base. So they submitted to a vote of the people a provision, I don't know that everybody understood it, but said that you could cross-pledge the revenues between the turnpikes, which meant we'd never pay off the Turner because we were always paying for a new turnpike. And that's why it's never been paid off.
Because we're always paying for another one.
For a new one. That's not a bad thing. Or we wouldn't have had the Creek Turnpike, and we wouldn't have had the 412 Cherokee Turnpike. We wouldn't have had any of the new turnpikes. And a lot of people say, well, we probably shouldn't have had them, but they've saved a lot of lives. In the final analysis, highways are about three things: convenience for commerce or the economy, safety. That's probably more important than anything. And convenience for the road user. The turnpikes have a better safety record than the interstate systems do. Once we took those terrible grass medians out, those happened because H.E. Bailey, they thought they were running out of money. They had 30-foot medians in there to start out with, but they wanted to save money in the right-of-way, so they squished it down to a 15-foot median. His idea was to put that dirt mound in the center, which is just a killer because you got the yellow line and you're in that dirt. Once you get that tire in that soft dirt, it turns your wheels directly into it and you go airborne. And if there's any oncoming traffic, you're dead. So we built the concrete barriers to eliminate that. One of the things that I did when I was director that probably is my proudest accomplishment or the one that I feel best about is we brought in these high-tension cable barriers. The first one was on the Hefner Parkway in Oklahoma City. It had been built with 30-foot medians just according to all the design standards, but it was carrying about 60,000 cars a day, and they were driving 65 or 70 miles an hour, six lanes wide. So if you cross that median, you were into opposing traffic. People were dying on that road at the rate of about six per year, which was just unconscionable. And our engineers at home said, well, we did it according to the Green Book, which is the design handbook. It's okay. I said, well, tell that to the dead people. You know, I started saying, let's put the barriers in like we have in the turnpike. Well, it's too expensive. Voltage drainage is in the middle, unlike the turnpikes. And then I found out about this English system called the Briffin barrier, which is a high-tension cable barrier, not the old cables that were between wood posts that you see, but like on an aircraft carrier that is used to dissipate the energy of the planes as they land. The Federal Highway Administration first said we couldn't use it because it was a proprietary product and they couldn't get competitive bids. And we finally talked them into letting us use it as a research project. And boom, fatalities dropped to nothing. And we're building them all over the state now. We were the first state in the United States to use that kind of a system. Now it's a national standard. And we're saving lots of lives. If I've done anything in the engineering profession that amounts to anything, it's introducing those cable barriers.